I'm Femi Oke. Welcome to the stream. You know, this is a show that often asks migrants, asylum seekers, why would you leave your own home and go on a perilous journey to a country you don't know much about and you're not too sure what your future might be? Today, we're going to ask that question of Haitians. In the past year, 25,000 at least have been deported from the US back to Haiti. Let me show you one of the most recent interdictions by the US Coast Guard. This was just a few hours ago. The US Coast Guard found a vessel full of Haitians, and this is what happened when they pulled them aboard. This is known as an interdiction. In the last few weeks, I've been reporting for Al Jazeera's documentary series, Fault Lines, to find out why so many Haitians are not finding a welcome, safety, asylum in the United States. Let's start with a trip I had with the US Coast Guard.
I'm just wondering, when was the last time you remember seeing a Haitian boat trying to get to the United States?
It was probably about a week ago. They'll have sails that are like not professionally made, but are sewn together, and the Haitians are usually packed onto the boat. The first time you catch them, I had to take a look at myself in the mirror and say, this is really difficult. Like, these people are just trying to have a better lives, but you have to remind yourself that these are not always safe vessels. And a lot of the times when we find them, it's because they're alive.
So what lies ahead for Haitians deported from the US? Here to help us discuss this, we have Gerline and Jake and Widlaw. Welcome to all three of you. Good to have you on board. Gerline, many people who work with Haitians in the US and overseas know your work very well. Please introduce yourself to our viewers around the world.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Gerline Joseph. I am the co-founder an executive director of the Haitian Bridge Alliance, the Black Immigrants Bell Fund, and the Cameroon Advocacy Network. We work and focus with people of African descent in migration, specifically from Haiti.
Good to have you. Hello, Jake. Welcome to the stream. Please introduce yourself.
Thanks for having me, Femi. Yeah, my name is Jake Johnston. I'm a senior research associate at the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington and focus largely on Haiti and U.S. policy toward Haiti.
Good to have you. And Widlaw, nice to see you on the stream. Please say hello to our viewers around the world.
Hello, everybody. My name is Widlaw Merencourt. I'm a journalist based in Port-au-Prince, and I am the editor-in-chief for Aibu Post. I also write for the Washington Post.
Good to have you. All right, viewers, I know you've seen scenes of Haitian deportees trying to get to the U.S., being taken back to Haiti. What are your thoughts about this? Is this an intractable problem, or can there be some very easy solutions? We would love you to be part of our conversation. You can be right with us right now on YouTube in the comments section. Gerline, I am thinking about the last time I think many of our audience would be thinking about Haitians and Haitians seeking safety and security. And that was just over a year ago, September 2021, on the border of the US. Paddy Collane, who is one of our reporters, reported on scenes that were incredibly distressing to see. I just want to remind our audience the last time we really focused on Haitians. Let's have a look.
You use your women? This is why your country because you use your women for this.
These are the Al Jazeera pictures causing outrage across the United States.
No!
Desperate and hungry, Haitian migrants trying to make it back to a makeshift camp with food and water met by force.
No.
So, Gerline, everyone is going to remember those pictures. They were so shocking. But after that, there's an even bigger story about how many Haitians were deported very, very quickly out of the U.S. Tell us more.
What we saw in those videos and pictures are extremely disturbing. Actually, for the first time last week, I was able to speak with the gentleman you saw in the picture, the one that was being abused by the gentleman in uniform. And he went into detail to explain what happened to him, and I couldn't stop crying. Because when he went into detail to say what happened to him and how he felt at that moment. He thought he was going to die, and he felt like he barely escaped. And in turn, his voice was disappeared, silenced, and deported. He's still in hiding right now because as soon as he arrived in Haiti, the same people he fled were once again after him. So what we saw in Darío in 2021, in September of 2021, is the reality of Black people at the U.S.-Mexico border that we have been explaining for a very long time, and the way that the United States have been mistreating them is outrageous. And I can share with you that almost all of the people we saw under the Bush and Del Rio have been deported, have been expelled. Close to 26,000 Haitians or people of Haitian descent have been sent to Haiti under President Biden alone. And we I really share that because at the same time, within 2 months, we were able to receive and welcome over 26,000 people from Ukraine, really understanding the mistreatment of Black people at the U.S.-Mexico border and within the immigration system.
So, Jake, I want our audience to be very clear on this. They might think, well, the United States has a border. The Department of Homeland Security calls this irregular migration. The White House calls this irregular migration. So why shouldn't they be sent back to Haiti? But there are US laws and actually international laws about people being able to seek asylum. And none of these Haitians were given that opportunity, regardless of what happened to them on their way or back at home. Jake.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the authority that the administration used to undertake these deportations, these expulsions, was under a public health law called Title 42, which is implemented by the Trump administration. And though it might be framed as a public health law, it was a back end way to enforce draconian and racist immigration policies by the Trump administration. And the reality is that the Biden administration simply continued to do that. And the result of that is basically denying the right, their legal right, to seek asylum on the behalf of these Haitians, of course, but also many other nationalities as well.
Jake, thank you so much for that. I'm just going to bring in a story of a young man that I met when I was in Haiti. He'd been deported from the US. He was running from violence. And I want you to hear and see a little bit of his story, because Widlaw, I know you have so many more stories to share with us. But let's have a listen to Jacques first of all.
Jacques is 26 years old. He used to live in Port-au-Prince, but he's now in hiding outside of the city. He's afraid to return home because he says a local gang accused him of ratting them out to the police.
Widlaw, that's one reason for Haitians wanting to leave Haiti. What are the others?
Well, Haiti is in the most difficult, is in a much difficult situation today. I thank the other panelists for their accounts when it comes to, you know, what happened to them when they crossed the border of the U.S. But in Haiti today, you have a very extremely difficult situation of insecurity where, you know, thousands of people have been kidnapped, you know, from the past year, but this year also. Many human rights organizations will tell you, for instance, that the level of violence that we are seeing, more than 100,000 people, escape violent situation, and 83% of them actually were displaced by, you know, gang violence. You have cholera in the country that resurfaced in October, where about, you know, 200 people were killed by the disease now. And you have more than 1,000, actually close to 2,000 of infections. You have, you know, I said something about hunger situation, which is extremely concerning because you have lots of people, and actually more than half of the country, close to half of the country, in hunger situation. When you took all these things, you took the insecurity, you took the cholera, it's no question that people will try to leave, and they are fleeing a situation that is in part caused by U.S. policy. We can talk about the gun situation in Haiti, where you have, according to the Justice Department, the most guns that are retrieved in crimes in Haiti come from the U.S. And you also have a current administration, which is supported by the U.S., and this administration is increasingly being disputed by the population.
Let me bring in some thoughts from our audience who are watching, all three of you right now, guests. I'm going to give you 3 points, and you can just build off the back of them, but very briefly, so that you can include our audience in the knowledge that you know. All right, so Miss LaBelle Kitty says, I am glad that the US supports Ukrainians, but I wish this benevolent act was extended to most or all people. Gerlin, very briefly on this.
And that's exactly, thank you so much for the comment. And that's exactly what you're saying. The welcoming with dignity of Ukrainians should not be an exemption to the rule, but it should be the rule by which we welcome people regardless of their skin color of country of origin. So that's where we stand.
Do you know what I was thinking? I was thinking maybe the U.S. immigration system is a broken system, which is why so many Haitians were picked up. They weren't allowed to apply for asylum, and they were sent to Haiti. But it's not broken. It's maybe how it is managed that is broken. Because when you get an emergency like Ukraine, that was okay.
Absolutely. And I don't think it is broken. I think it's working exactly the way they had created it to work. And for the Haitians, for black people, but Haitians specifically, this is not the first time abuse has been applied upon ourselves. So we are, the way the system is working is not lost on us. And we always say, why is it that when it comes to Haitians, when it comes to black people, the answer is always violence instead of care? Why do we always have to prove our humanity versus other people if they happen to have the right passport, as the director of USCIS say, then the stars are aligned for them if they come with the right passport, the right skin color. But when it comes to Haitians, the answer is always violence.
Jake, there's some research that you did that was very telling, which was about how many flights left the US and went to Haiti in the past year, and you just tracked these flights, and these were deportation flights. Can you tell us briefly what you found out? Because this is the immigration policy or the deportation policy of the Biden administration as it stands right now.
Yeah, exactly. And just to piggyback on the previous point, too, because I think this is extremely important, right? I mean, the example of the treatment of Ukrainians, it also shows what is possible, right? Mm-hmm. We often hear with Haiti and the responses, well, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the capabilities, the border's overrun, we don't have the staff. Well, here we can see what they want to do with will, right, with political will. And so that does make the treatment of Haitians a conscious decision, right? This isn't just passive. And I think that's a really important distinction. So, you know, these flights, I think this is a really important point because we don't know very much about how this system actually works. It's taking place behind closed doors and out of public sight, right? And so the only way we're able to track these flights, we're able to get information about the numbers of flights that are actually going to Haiti, is by using flight databases and then trying to figure out which contractors have the contracts to fly deportees back under Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and doing this all outside those official channels, right? And so it was really shocking to see these huge upticks in flights, right? And this is at a time where, you know, September 2021, that was just a month after a very devastating earthquake hit the southern peninsula of Haiti. And what we noticed, also was that many of these people who were being sent back were actually from that southern peninsula, were being sent right back into a disaster zone.
What I found very illuminating, Widlaw, was as I was talking to deportees from the US who were back in Haiti, the treatment they received when they were in facilities in the United States, not allowed to wash or bathe for 2 weeks. They were shackled on the way back to Haiti. mothers with babies were shackled. Any hygiene items, deodorant, soap, was taken away from them. So the whole process was dehumanizing. And then it looks like that process was deliberate to scare the deportees into telling people back in Haiti, do not try to come to the United States. These terrible things will happen to you. In the research and the analyzation of what's been happening, it's been decided that that was torture, that migrants were being tortured. Widlaw, does that gel with what you've been reporting and what you've been seeing?
Yes, I mean, when you talk to these migrants, I was on the ground for Able Post and the Washington Post last year, especially for the first big waves. And one thing that struck me, and that kept repeating from migrants to the other migrants, is how shocked they were, how surprised they were to be mistreated, you know, by agents from the U.S. And many of them actually were so surprised that such thing would happen while they were in, you know, in facilities. And as you say, many of them reported not being able to take bath. Many of them actually suffered physical abuses from agents. Some of them were, you know, put in chains in the planes coming back. Many said to me they lost items, including IDs that they had on them, etc. And these treatments, as you say, are being considered or maybe were infected because they tried to make an example of these people. And when they are back to Haiti, maybe they can tell their stories so people, you know, can be deterred to come to the U.S. But what is important for people to know is nobody chooses to go on a journey where they know they can die, where they know they are going to lose everything, including their lives, for nothing. It's the situation in Haiti that is difficult, and it's the policies, actually, that were implemented for the past 10 years, at least in this country, that bring us to the situation where we're in right now.
I spoke to the State Department as I was doing this reporting with Fault Lines and about this situation and the treatment of deportees during COVID. There's cholera, there's violence, there's fuel shortages. These are not situations where you would necessarily want to send people back without hearing their asylum process. So when I spoke to the State Department, I asked them about this situation with Haitians, and I want you to hear a little bit of that discussion. Have a listen, have a look. 25,000 at least Haitian asylum seekers, migrants, came to the US looking for somewhere safe to live, and they were returned back to Haiti.
So migration and issues around repatriation are obviously extremely complex and difficult. This is something that the Biden administration has taken on board in looking at a hemispheric-wide solution to migration, because the migration, of course, is not just coming from Haiti.
When the Haitian asylum seekers are being deported back to Haiti and they see a difference between how they're treated and how other asylum seekers are being treated, for instance, Ukrainians.
Femi, as I said, these are extremely difficult questions that involve people's lives and people's well-being. And that is something that the State Department and the broader U.S. government is doing everything that we can to address.
So I also spoke to the Department of Homeland Security. We contacted them for this show and they decided they weren't going to be on the show. But they said a couple of things via email. I want to share it with you guests and you can tell me, are we heading towards a way of treating Haitian deportees humanely, or Haitians seeking asylum, or Haitian migrants more humanely with these suggestions from the Department of Homeland Security? The Haitian Family Reunification Parole Program. That means that certain Haitians can move to the United States if they have family members. Gerline, I'm going to ask you to do this very briefly, 20 seconds. Is that helpful?
Not happening. They have said they will do it, but to date, there is absolutely zero process, zero effort, actually, to make this happen. So what I'm saying is that we are tired of the excuses. We need action.
Okay. Temporary protection status is now extended through to 2024. Widlaw, is that helpful? Will that stop? I'm going to ask. Yes, Gerlene. Gerlene wants to answer all of the questions. Go ahead.
No. I just want to make a correction.
Please.
That TPS has not been extended Haiti.
Thank you.
This
Go ahead.
This is a misinformation and misunderstanding. What has happened is
it will continue
for
through June the 30th of 2024.
Yes.
Is
so
what
that is for,
told us.
Yeah, that is for a specific group. The Ramos case that is still in the court in California, it's not for Haiti specific.
I hear you. Let me move on and just put in, get in a little bit more. Gerlene, thank you for the correction. I appreciate that. All right. So on YouTube, I'm just going to go to YouTube, Widlaw, so that you can answer some of these things. There is concern that there's a different way of Haitians being treated from Europeans being treated. I think this person is tiptoeing around the word racism. Are you seeing racism in this relationship between the US and Haiti?
Well, I don't know if I'm the best person to speak about this issue. What I do know is the folks that were sent back to Haiti, their accounts, those of people victim, frankly, of racist acts. Mm. I think other panelists can speak about that, but anyone who knows about white supremacy, anyone who knows about the treatment of black people in the U.S. can see similarities between, how Haitian migrants are being received, the respect they are not being afforded, the understanding of the situation that is not recognized is the same with, a history of racist policies and racist mistreatments of black people in the U.S., and I'm not seeing any difference whatsoever.
I'm going to bring in Shauna Sporting Brown, who's on YouTube. Thank you, Shauna, for watching this. Shauna says, I am so ashamed as an American. They do not want black and brown people here. That's a big statement. I think you need to live in the US to really appreciate what that actually means. Earlier, we spoke to Robin, who wanted to share this with us. Have a listen, have a look. And then, Jake, please build off the back of Robin's thoughts.
Over 40 years ago, US Congress passed the Refugee Protection Act with overwhelming bipartisan support, protecting the right to seek asylum for all persons, regardless of the color of their skin or the country in which they were born. Yet we have a long history of denying this right to Haitians. For the past 2 years, they've been blocked and expelled from seeking asylum at our southern border and sent back to their country, which is in a worsening crisis. The US government recognizes that Haiti is not a safe place and has rated it at a level 4 security risk and granted temporary protected status last year to Haitians already in the country. It's long past time for the US government to abandon these deterrence-based strategies that are harmful and do not work, and instead embrace a policy of welcoming Haitians with dignity and following our immigration laws.
Jake, is this likely?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that. And I think, there's two points that I'd want to make. I mean, one is that the mistreatment of Haitians in our immigration system not only is a historical reality, but has been sort of the tip of the spear of the creation of our modern carceral immigration system, right? So the detention centers, as you see, the prisons that we are holding migrants in, right? This started as a response to a wave of Haitian migration 40-some years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other point that we need to consider here, right? It's not just the mistreatment at the border here, sure. Right? There's a reason that Haitians are fleeing, and it's not just this, just the current situation on the ground, but the product of a history, right? And a history that right. The United States and other foreign powers have been extremely involved in, right? And so when we're talking about the root causes,
sure, Jake,
we're talking about
I'm going to leave it there.
Policy.
Yeah. The root causes of the relationship between Haiti and the US and why Haitians are coming to the United States and then being deported back. That is something that we will delve into even deeper on the next Fault Lines film, No Country for Haitians. It airs and premieres November the 23rd at 22:30 GMT. Gerlene, Jake, Widlaw and viewers, thank you for being part of today's program. I'll see you next time. Take care.